Well, in general, how you doing, buddy?
I'm alive, man. They've been trying to kill me for years. It's been very unsuccessful.
Excellent. Excellent. So I want to talk very little baseball and then just talk about you, the man, the world traveler, the...
this whole thing?
Yes, yes. Yeah. The impressive fiancé. Right off the bat, we need a little feedback on what the Mets just got in Rosario.
Incredible athlete. He's got about every tool you could want. I wouldn't say he's a power guy, but he's one of the fastest guys you're going to see on the field. Good glove, good arm. He's going to bring excitement. He's going to add a little bit of energy to that lineup in that clubhouse, and I can't really say that's a thing. That's a hell of a thing to add to any lineup. He's going to add some youth, and he's going to be around for a long, long time. So it's good that they're finally giving him a look early,
And what about current teammate Dominic Smith, who management with the Mets said, "Hey, he'll be up by September 1st."
I'd love that. I'd like that to be sooner so I could play.
Kind of hurting your cause right now.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I get to why he's a hell of a player, and the guy can hit. But, don't be afraid to call him up a little bit before September.
Sure.
So you can let the big dog in. He'd like to take some at bats away, Maybe finish above 200 at bats in a season. That'd be cool.
What is going on with you? Do you get frustrated, in a situation like this, as you're trying to, carve out a niche and get to the majors?
I've been to the majors. I didn't do anything. I was there, though. I got
11 at bats.
Yeah, I got to sit there and watch people play baseball. It was cool. It's tricky. I'm not going to lie and say it's not the easiest thing. You go your whole career playing every day, and all of a sudden you find yourself on the bench. But, I was in a position to where, I didn't really – I got released out of camp by Milwaukee, and I was kind of in a position where – I needed to get out there and play, and the Mets called, and I wanted to play for the Mets, so it was looking really forward to it. And they sent me in Binghamton, and it's cool being in Vegas. The amount of times I played against Vegas over the past borderline decade, it's almost surreal being here, and it's great because it's close to home for me. I'm from LA, but I'm a competitor. Any competitor wants to play, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to play. I want to get in there every at bat, every chance I can. But, the situation that's in front of me is play off the bench and get ready for any situation that presents itself. And quite frankly, to get back to the big leagues, I've seen crazier things happen than my situation going to the big leagues.
Yeah, for sure. But, I want to get into that. You joke about, how you've been around for a long time and you've been, kind of grinding away at it. I guess how do you keep your positive attitude about things and keep it fun when obviously, what you want to do is move on and progress to the next level, but you just seem to be having fun with it all.
Well, hereditary alcoholism really plays a really key role in that.
That's fair.
Throwing them back.
So, the thing about AAA is, I learned this early on. For my first time playing in AAA, for 12, playing in Tucson, the Tucson Padres, and the clubhouse was a little, divided, and team wasn't winning, and it wasn't that fun, and that was my first experience learning that really lend itself to really non-positive atmospheres. And so the next year got different manager, different leadership, different type of thing, to where we went out of our way to make sure we had a great time, because ultimately this is still a kid's game made for children, and if you're going to sit here and take it too seriously, if this isn't, we shouldn't do this. So I try and go out of my way to make sure this is as fun as possible for me and hopefully for other people as well. So I make films. I have a lot of fun with making films, make the fact that I went to film school worth something. So I do a lot of that. I write a lot of scripts, write a lot of comedy. My fiance is a comedian, so that helps. She's really good as a roast comic, so majority of our nights are spent over FaceTime when I'm away, with her trying out roast comedy on me, where she just buries me for 25 minutes. And I'm just sitting there, laughing, even though it's more of nervous laughter, because, oh my God, that hit really close to home, thanks.
It's not really fair to try roast material on somebody you know so well, though.
Well, I give her endless material.
That's true, but
it's not fair, though. I'm an easy target.
Yeah, it's also too easy when you know somebody really well. You need to just see somebody and roast them.
She's good at that too, but at least she can always reuse the things she's using on me and repurpose them for other people, so maybe that's actually helping her.
You do realize that most dudes listening right now who are married get roasted all the time at home. They just
exactly,
get annihilated.
But they don't get roasted by a professional comedian.
Oh, okay, so she's top-notch. Her material's
better. she makes me limp away from a couple of things.
That's really? By the way,
she's very capable.
Cody Decker's with us, 51s. When did she make the transition to comedian? I missed this.
Before we got together, she started doing comedy probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, she does mostly comedy writing, but she, you know, gets on stage. She Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, improv. She does all that. She makes the rounds.
Nice.
Exceedingly talented young woman.
Like yourself.
Me? I'm next level. Don't worry about it.
How big was the experience with Team Israel? Like, in terms of, you mentioned, you know, you turned the corner with the Padres organization. You're like, screw this. It's time to have fun. You had a lot of fun with Team Israel, but how about that experience?
It was great. It also helped, you know, playing with that group of guys. The thing with it, you put a team together of a bunch of guys who run from different parts of the country, and you want them to bond that quickly is a borderline impossible thing. But we all had this one thing in common, and that we were all Jewish. There aren't a whole lot of Jewish baseball players out there, so the fact that we kind of all had this one little thread in common kind of brought us together really fast, and then we just made sure we had the most fun possible, and we really did. You know, the mention the bench thing, you're welcome.
That's awesome.
I mean, I that company owes me money. As far as
wait,
I'm
you got
concerned.
Nothing? Like a couple of shares? Some kind of back-end payment? Nothing?
Oh, I got a ton of extra mensch on the bench merchandise that I don't know what to do with. Like, they sent me 4 of them. They sent me a life-size one. Luckily, I'm making that one work. I'm shooting a film right now that I'm using. Of course, the mensch is playing a pivotal role, along with my Brad Ausmus cardboard cutout.
Well, it seems like you're just using it to creep people out, sitting in the backseat of people's cars, right?
I did do that to Jen. She was not thrilled. I thought it was hilarious.
Looked pretty good. I saw that on Twitter. It was solid.
That was a good one. That happened a couple of times. I've been putting the Brad Ausmus cardboard cutout in bathrooms, waiting for people to go in and get scared. It's been a lot of fun. I've been having a good time with these guys. It makes the days go better. You know, 'cause it's hot out here.
Not today, but in general.
No. It's a little rainy. So instead, it's just humid. So I'm sweating without doing anything. It's amazing.
It's perfect. You know, we've done a lot of funny things. I don't know if this is funny or if it's just sad or what. Were you at Santa Monica the same time Stephen Miller was?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I have to.
You want to explain it?
Why would I do what?
No. I meant Adam, bring it up. What? Explain it to the audience.
Well, Stephen Miller, the presidential advisor, just the, I don't even know what the best word is, a dweeb. I don't know what the proper terminology would be.
I wouldn't call him a dweeb. I would. It's best I don't comment on this, but I have made my opinion of Stephen Miller quite apparent.
So I
because I actually know him. I actually know him.
So you were there at the same time.
Yes, he was a year older than me.
Okay. Now, were you there for the famous the speech where he got booed when he was running for president?
Yes, I was.
Is it as bad as we've heard about? Was it just kind of a couple people? What was it like?
Oh, no, it was a stadium-wide. A lot of people go to Santa Monica, over 3,000. So it was a stadium-wide booed off. You had to literally be physically removed. But that's just, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Was it an awful speech? It's not. I don't think the speech was as bad as the other things he did, but it wasn't good.
Okay, so it was more like just him in general, wasn't the speech? Because I've always wondered. I've seen speeches for people running for for office in high school, and it's like, yeah, we're gonna fix the school lunch and all. Like, I don't know how you could get booed at that.
That's not really what he was.
Come on,
he's like, I don't want to comment.
You could do it.
I'd like my job, dude.
Like,
you get it? Like, I'm a Jewish kid from Santa Monica. I think you could pretty much tell what my political leanings are, but I try pretty hard to avoid them all that much on social media and everything. And here's the reason: I like to avoid death threats.
Okay.
Right. But that being said, he was awful.
Okay.
Just a terrible person.
That is fair.
Wow.
We'll accept that. We'll let you just move on from that one. Good stuff, though.
Do you have a philosophy on Twitter, or is it just, hey, whatever strikes me at that moment is going out?
No. There's a philosophy. I try to avoid. I like to be myself. I like to, say some thoughts. I try to just be entertaining, while also knowing what my limitations are. You know, the one thing I wouldn't say it's frowned upon. It still is kind of frowned upon. Tipping the, you know, opening the curtain a little bit of baseball is still kind of a frowned upon thing. It's pretty hard to do, and do it in a way where people, you know, like the old school baseball guys, don't think you're like giving away. It's like a magician giving away secrets.
My God.
Type thing, you know.
Why are they like that? We've had this discussion many times about the no fun police around baseball, and it's unfortunate. It's a lot of American whites, you know, lecturing others on how to play the game and how to have fun, and it's just like, shut up. That's why. In some ways, you're losing market share with youngins because they want to have fun. Show your personality.
I just want the game to be as fun as possible. If someone wants to bat flip, throw the bat into the stands. I don't care. Have a 10-minute tea party. It doesn't matter to me. Just understand if you go too far, I might yell at you, but I think we can all get over it. I mean, but that being said, it's just one of those things that it's baseball, it's a sport, it's a game, and I think it's important to have fun, and I think the definition of fun in baseball is starting to kind of turn a little bit, and who knows? I think the game is trying to evolve just like everything else. I think the WBC actually helps with that, believe it or not. I think the you know, showing how much flair certain teams had, like how much I had so much fun watching Puerto Rico play. And
oh, you did?
Anyone?
Oh, okay, good, because I don't want you to have to rip him here on live radio, but Ian Kinsler did not. So that's one of the guys I'm talking about, where he's like, "Watch us and learn how to play the game." No, I'm not gonna. I don't want to watch you, Ian. You know.
Did he get annoyed
at the bench as well? Like, you know, these mascots on the bench, you know, this is it's way too much I fun. Mean, calm down, Ian.
I mean, the way I saw it, like, I keep thinking of the thing Baez did where he made the tag while running in and not even looking at the tag.
Right.
That was the coolest play I'd ever seen in my life. I put that on an endless repeat, like, on my phone. And it was great. And then there was the, what was the other thing? Oh, the back pick. Because there's the flip side of it, you know, too much celebrating and too much swagger got the guy backpicked against from the Netherlands against Puerto Rico, and I went nuts. I'm like, that's even better. That's even better. Oh, it was just the best. Oh, that was so much fun. Anyone who's looked at watched those and did not go crazy and just think that was a blast is just kind of alien to me. I loved every second of that. I don't know. I like showing some passion on the field, whether even if it's anger. You know, like, you know, I don't like guys going too angry and going crazy, but every once in a while, you know, showing some emotion. You know, the one thing I think is kind of important about baseball that no one really gets a chance to see anymore, and where you're talking about fun, is just kind of the humanity of the game. You know, these are people playing a game. They're not superheroes. You know, they're people. They're normal. They're flawed, and I like seeing some emotion to the game, whether that's excitement, anger, frustration, you know, relaxation, whatever it is. I like seeing that, and it makes me invest as a fan more into that team, that game. You know, it matters.
We're just bouncing all over the place with you here, but I do want to get your take, because you have been around a while in the minor leagues. What is the best minor league town to travel to?
El Paso.
Really?
El Paso is my, to be honest, El Paso is my favorite place I've ever played in my life. And that includes in the big leagues. The fans are really, really into it. They're really rambunctious. They're loud. They treat their players like their family. I'll give you an example. My first year playing in El Paso, I played 2 years in Tucson. And I liked Tucson a lot, but we would max out at maybe 1,000 fans every once in a while. We move over to El Paso, and we didn't know what we were to expect, and we get there, and it's 10,000, 12,000 every night, and they didn't care if we won or lost. They were loud. And the last game of the season, I'll remember this, I got pulled out in the beginning of the ninth inning. They let me have a little curtain call, and I got a standing ovation from the 10,000 that were there, and they were, like, chanting my name. And then we won the game, and after the game, they wouldn't let us, like, leave the field until they gave us a huge standing ovation. We won that game, but that game made us literally 500. We finished the season with 500. And they would not let us go until they gave us a resounding standing ovation and thank yous, to which I looked back at that day and, like, that was one of I had just found out before the game I wasn't going. I just had a great season. I just found out before the game I wasn't going to the big leagues. I was kind of heartbroken and a little disappointed. I thought I was going up, and I didn't. But that game, that ovation I got off the field, and then the ovation the whole team got after the game for finishing at 500, was something I'd never experienced.
By the way,
I'd never seen it.
Do you think your likability and personality will that help you get to the majors? I mean, in the end, it's his playing ability, but will that help or hurt you? Do you ever think to yourself, you're like, am I looked at as like too much fun? Like, could I make a career in my 30s as like 2017 Mickey Hatcher or Jay Johnstone?
I've literally been told both. I've been told by some that my personality has cost me being in the big leagues. Ugh. I've been told that my personality keeps me in the game. So I don't really know what to trust or believe. And so I just try not to think about it. So I'm just going to keep doing my thing.
My co-host Adam loves Mexico, so he loves Tijuana. I'm assuming in El Paso, Juarez is pretty much like off limits for everyone now.
I never went.
Okay.
But I think the unrest there was a little higher at the time than it is now.
Hmm.
But I honestly don't know. I never went. I felt like I could. I'm boring, man. Like, I don't do much. Like, I go to the field, I go to dinner, and I go home, and I watch old Doctor Who episodes. Like, that's my life.
And Rick and Morty.
And Rick and Morty. I will watch the hell out of some Rick and Morty.
And Game of Thrones.
Of course. Well, I mean, it's not Sunday yet.
No spoilers.
I didn't watch the leaked footage. I can wait 2 days.
Yeah,
my Sundays right now are very occupied. I got Game of Thrones, I got Rick and Morty, and I got Twin Peaks. So I got a lot of stuff coming up that I gotta focus on Sundays.
No ballers?
No, I'm not a ballers guy. Not on it.
They're in
and I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm a huge wrestling mark, so trust me, I wanna like the show. I just don't.
Well, here's my thing on it. I as a guy that has done film, this will probably impact your viewing, but I think it's a terrible show. I think everything about it is awful. The writing stinks, the acting's awful, but I love it.
See, I don't like it. I just don't like it because I don't like the acting. I don't like the writing. And I don't like the subject matter. Like, sure. I don't, like, that's like, we were talking about it earlier. It's like the one thing in sports, like, that I don't like. It's almost like portraying every athlete and person behind the scenes as this demigod thing. I'm just, what the hell is this? I've been around a long time. I've never seen this type of behavior. What is this?
You're not in the NFL. It's a whole different
league,
my friend.
But, like, come on. What is this?
There's a one family man on there.
Like, where's the guy that goes home to his kids?
There's one.
Great, there's one.
The guy that was the offensive lineman, now he's the assistant general manager.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, I play with a bunch of guys, and the majority of them, and when I say majority, like 90% of them, just, you know, leave the field and go home to their wives and kids.
That sounds boring.
And very pleasant and friendly.
That'd be a terrible
show.
Much
fun. Maybe, but at least it'd be honest.
Well, The Rock has no kids. Apparently, he can't have any. That's one of the great storylines this year. That he's shooting blanks.
you take enough bumps like that, you get a couple Stone Cold Stunners and oversell the hell out of them. Next thing you know, you're sterile. It happens. I get it.
It happens. Dr. Decker, we got to close on this. Very important stuff. You mentioned film. I saw that you were shooting some shots around Vegas. What is the film, and what'd you grab around Vegas?
I'm not telling you.
Come on.
Why would I tell you?
We have like 11 listeners.
My next film? You don't want Game of Thrones spoilers, but you don't want to just know the whole plot of my next film?
Don't compare yourself to Game of Thrones, my friend. Come on.
I will compare myself to Game of Thrones, and I will do it again.
These Santa Monica High School guys with the attitude. It's unbelievable.
That being said, I'll just give you this hint. I'm a really big fan of the A-Team.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So maybe I'm doing something A-team related.
Hmm.
You got a van?
Maybe, yeah. Do I have a van? Yeah. Don't need a van. I got a mensch on the bench.
Hey, by the way, how has the mensch been welcomed around Vegas? Because my lady friend is from the tribe. She's Jewish. But this is not a giant Jewish town.
Hold on. I'm on 51. I'm on a radio show right now.
Oh, no.
Sorry, it was I a cannot. Cop. I had to answer a cop.
Oh no! Come on.
I think you wanted to make sure I wasn't trespassing. What were we talking about?
I cannot present that again. No, I was just saying this is not a super Jewish town, so I was wondering how the mensch was going over around Vegas. It's not like anti-Semitic town. I'm just saying the population is not, super Jewish.
So far so good, but I'll find out tonight when the mensch makes an appearance on Fremont Street. That's going to be interesting.
Really?
Oh yeah, I gotta get some more stuff.
When's that going down?
Tease.
I don't know. later.
You doing a tweet up? Do a tweet
no,
up.
No, I don't want. No, I'm. He just pops up where he wants to pop up. He's like a phantom.
Give us a time range, something.
Well, I have a game tonight at 7, so it's not going to be then.
Okay, so later tonight. All right,
11 to 11:30.
Maybe
12.
No, that's too late for me. I got to sleep, man.
All right, Mr. Decker, we appreciate so much time. Let's get you on again if you would like to. Okay.
Hey, why not? You know, during the days I don't really do much, so. And you have my number now.
Yes.
So call me at odd hours.
You might get busy soon because Dominic could be headed up. So I'm rooting for you.
Hey, I'm rooting for Dom. He's a hell of a player and an even better guy.
Thanks, Cody.
All right, see ya.
There you go, Cody Decker at Decker6, member of the 51s, guy who's smashed 20 plus home runs in multiple seasons in the minors.